and 73 years young.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vincent Hiscox is a health coach, and his mission is to help people to look better and feel better. Why don't you become a health coach?
It's been my passion throughout my life. All the way through my life, from being 8 or 9 years old, I was always playing sports, playing football, playing rugby. If there was something, there was anything to do with sport, I was there.
Best-selling author, award-winning podcast.
Transformative purpose.
Today we'll touch on three important topics: breath work, nutrition, and sleep. But before we go on with our conversation, I am going to ask you a question from our previous guest, Blake Hutchison, the CEO from Flipper. The question he asked for you is, how do you ensure you have gotten enough out of each day?
Wow, that's a super question. I think that for myself, if I look at how I use my day, and I'm sort of, let's say, from the work I do get a lot of time when I'm not doing work, I use the day very, very well. So I start the day from, I start doing sort of breathing, I start doing meditation, I start looking at my heart rate variability. So I do some measures on myself. Then, depending on what clients I've got for that day, let's say, I then do the works with the clients. But then at the same time, I'm a kind of lifelong learner. So I'm always looking to see what I can do to up my skills as a health coach, and also generally read books. I spend so much time reading books. Then just to cap that off, I'm a firm believer in pushing yourself. So in the evening, it might get to around 7 o'clock, and I'll, even if I'm not feeling like it, I'll push myself and I say, come on, you've got to go to the gym. And I'll go to the gym. I've got my own weight training coach. So coaches need coaches.
Why did you become a health coach?
Yeah, and that's a super question. So I've had three careers in my life. My first career was as a teacher, and I taught maths and physics, and I really enjoyed it. And I got to, I think, around about the 14th year, and always nagging in my brain was, what's it like on the other side? What's it like in industry? And I had a super opportunity because at that time, the British government was actually giving me money to go into a master's degree. And they were paying for my family at the same time. So, of course, I took the opportunity, went and did a master's degree. Then I got a job in microelectronics, which before I got the job, I didn't know anything. So I trained as an engineer, then went on to do sales and marketing. And that job lasted 30 years. And that took me all around the world. That brought me to Hong Kong. So that, you know, that gave me that sort of view of the corporate world, of, you know, managing a team, you know, coaching a team, all those nice things. And at the end of the, wasn't really the end of my contract, they wanted me to go back to France. And I said, my wife wants to stay here in Hong Kong. They said, no problem, we'll give you a redundancy and you can stay. And actually, I was coming up to 65, so it was like they were actually giving me a present to leave the company. So I took that, and that's when I decided to become a kind of full-time health coach. I thought, well, if I want to stay fit and healthy, then the best way for me to do that is to help other people get fit and healthy, because you can't be a health coach if you're not healthy yourself. It's been my passion throughout my life, all the way through my life, from ever since I can remember, you know, from being 8 or 9 years old, I was always playing sports, playing football, playing rugby, playing... In Wales, we actually played Welsh baseball, athletics. If there was something, there was anything to do with sport, I was there. That passion is not just the passion that arrived when I was 65. It's been there all the way through.
What have you learned between the age of 65 to now you're 73?
As I said earlier, I've always been a lifelong learner. So what I've done in terms of this new career is I've relearned a lot of skills. I mean, when you are working in a job in industry, I was in the marketing department and our customers were lined up by the sales department. I didn't have to do anything. But when you do a job yourself, you have to do everything. You have to be the marketing, you have to be the sales and marketing, you have to be the IT. You have to take all of the roles and you have to do them all. And I'll be very honest, that didn't come easy. So that was certainly a challenge. But it's a challenge which, you know, I've appreciated, and I think and I hope I'm getting better.
Can you walk us through the process? At least I know a lot of people who are juggling with work and people. There are a lot of people also trying to look for jobs. We are facing a quite a challenging economic environment. So from having a lot of resources in a corporate environment to getting into a new space where you had to relearn everything and be a lifelong learner yourself, and also juggling the many responsibilities that you mentioned from sales, marketing to, you know, doing the actual delivery, the coaching work, right? How did you juggle all of those?
I think I need to share another bit of information with you, because the reason, or one of the reasons I became a health coach, was to stay active. Earning money wasn't the primary reason. So I was in a very privileged position in that I had a pension from my company. And having worked in the UK, having worked in France on an expatriate contract in Hong Kong, I mean, the pension is easily enough for me to live on. So what I'm doing now is a passion project. But of course, I think like all people who have any kind of competition in them, they want it to be successful. They want it to be meaningful. They want it to be something which, you know, they can show that they're making progress. So those are the challenges for me. But they're not the fundamental challenges where I have to chase people for business. So for example, if somebody comes to me and we're working together and they're getting sort of grouchy and they're sort of saying, you know, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? Then I'm more than happy to help them. And if I'm feeling I'm not helping them, I'm more than happy to refer them to somebody else. And that comes, it's a luxury. You know, I'd be very honest, it's a luxury. But it's a luxury which I think if other people can do it, then I would recommend it, of course. Yeah.
But what would you say were the qualities that you have in you which got you to this state, this comfortable state where you can selectively turn away customers which aren't exactly aligned with your belief?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I think from my personality, I've always been a person, you know, when I was at school, I used to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go and deliver newspapers. Sometimes I would deliver on 2 rounds of newspapers, so I wouldn't finish until 8 o'clock. Then I would go to school. I would do my day in school. And the first thing I did when I came home was my homework. And the reason for that wasn't because I wanted to be the best student in the class. It's because I wasn't allowed out until I did my homework. So I did my homework, and then my mother said, okay, you can go out now. You can go to youth club. You can do whatever you want to. You know, make sure you're back by a certain time. So that discipline, and it's, I would call it discipline, that discipline in my life is lifelong. And of course, that makes it easier. It's easy for me to push myself now. It's easy for me to push myself because it's not something where really I'm pushing myself. It's, you know, it's, some people might think of pushing themselves as something that's hard and difficult and unpleasant, but I actually feel it's a pleasure. Yeah.
I'm going to be selfish here and ask you a personal question because I'm a father of 2 young children. I learned that you have, you know, a lot of kids and you also have 5 grandchildren. The point you mentioned about discipline, do you see in the next generation? And if not, how do we nurture it?
Yeah, again, super question. So looking at my children now, the thing that I've tried to sort of help them with, and of course their mother as well, is for them to be independent. And if I look at all my children now, they're all independent. I mean, children always come back to daddy for sort of money, you know? They always come back and say, oh, can you help me, blah, blah, blah.
How do you handle those conversations where they come for money? Do you always give it to them?
Within what I can manage, yeah. Because that, for me, I feel that's it's a part of my family. It's a part of my life. I don't want to go to the grave. I'd like to go to the grave with like 0 in the bank. You know, with, you know, having got to the point where any money that I've got has been shared out before I get to that point where I die. And of course, shared out properly. I mean, my wife would be a part of that as well as the children. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Let's talk about why we're here today. Let's talk about health. You mentioned there are 7 pillars of health. Can you tell us what these 7 pillars are?
Okay. So in fact, in terms of the pillars of health that I really work on for myself, fundamentally, there's breathing. Okay, so breathing sits, you know, a foundation, and very closely followed by sleep, then nutrition, movement. And movement covers so much, but I'll call it movement. Then mental and emotional health, and then hydration, and that's six, and I can't remember what the seventh one is. Basically, those are, for me, are the important pillars of health. And the other thing I would say, which I think is really important, they're not independent variables. Most of my customers come to me and they say, look, I need to lose some weight. Okay, so we can work on that, and we start to develop habits that they can help themselves to lose some weight. One of the things that I ask them right at the beginning is, what's your sleep like? Why? Because it's a very dependent variable. If somebody is not sleeping properly, the level of fat in their body goes up. If they're not sleeping properly, it means that their stress is going to be going up. Their mental health is going to be not where it should be. So usually when customers and clients come to me, they come to me with one thing, but then by the time we find the solution, it's kind of, it's meshed across everything. And that is, you know, it's a pattern which I've seen regularly. And even to the point, you know, the example I gave you with respect to sleep is fundamental. You know, if you're stressed, you're releasing more cortisol. If you're releasing more cortisol, the body says, oh my God, what's going on? Hold on to your fat. And it burns muscle. So when you're stressed, not only are you getting stressed, physiologically, you're starting to burn muscle. You're starting to build up fat. And if you're getting stressed about being overweight, I mean, then it becomes a vicious circle.
How does someone know whether their quality of sleep is good?
Yeah, so many good questions. So what I recommend with my clients is they start to monitor their sleep. And even, you know, without using any watches or things, that, instruments that they can put in their bed, etc., you can usually tell when you've had a good night's sleep. You just ask yourself when you get up in the morning, how do I feel? And that takes you 60 to 70% of the way forward in terms of knowing what your sleep is doing. If you wake up in the morning, you feel like shit, yeah, then you can, straight away you're kind of tense, then you know that wasn't a good night's sleep. So then for the next step, and what I do for myself, is that I've got a watch that measures my sleep, and it's one of the first things I do every morning. As I told you, I've got a kind of routine when I get up in the morning. I look at my watch, and I see what my score is on my watch. And of course, you know, it's not something that's perfect. It's an indication. But it's really interesting as an indication because, of course, you know, we're in a group called BNI. And on a Tuesday morning, you have to get up early. I get up at 5:30. And I look, I look at my sleep for that night. And if I'm good, then I can usually get more than 7 hours. And that's what I aim to do. But then when I look at my heart rate variability, you can see it's starting to get pushed into the sympathetic. It's starting to get pushed into the stress side of the equation. It kind of gives you a score, you know, so you're either central, you're in the sort of sympathetic or you're parasympathetic. So you can see it just even thinking about, you know, what was my sleep last night. That's going to give you a good indication.
Yeah. What are some of the basic things, fundamental things people need to know about getting a good night's sleep? Like things that we're not supposed to do. I mean, I try not to look at smartphone, blue screen, some say, you know, an hour before that. I've heard of this 3-2-1 theory where you're not supposed to eat 3 hours before, drink 2 hours before, and not supposed to look at blue screen 1 hour before sleep. What are some of the basic things that people shouldn't be doing, which would affect, you know, their sleeping pattern? And maybe, you know, a few things that people should be doing after they get up.
So what I do usually with my clients, I say to them, okay, what time do you normally wake up in the morning? What time do you want to wake up in the morning? Okay, so that's the starting point. Then I work backwards. So I say, okay, you want to get up at 8 o'clock? You need to be in bed before 12 o'clock. If you need to be in bed before 12 o'clock, what's your wind-down routine? Do you have a wind-down routine? If you don't, let's develop one together. What time do we need to start our wind-down routine? You know, and that all of what you mentioned, you know, not looking at blue screens, not, you know, not getting excited, not, you know, scrolling your telephone, that all comes into your wind-down routine. It could be that you take a nice, I just take a nice warm shower. It's your body, so you take the responsibility to look after it.